Luke chapter 18. We learned that Luke 11 has the pattern for prayer as far as our Savior gave us an outline to follow, and we went through that. And then last week we learned that Luke chapter 11 deals with midnight praying. A friend had a friend who goes to him at midnight and says, "Lend me 3 loaves." And Luke 11 is midnight praying. You'll find in the book of Luke more about Jesus praying than you will any of the other Gospels. That's why Luke 11 and Luke chapter 18, Jesus, our Savior, is teaching us on prayer. And what does Luke show? Matthew shows Jesus as a king. Mark shows Jesus as a servant. And Luke shows Jesus as the Son of Man, His humanity. His humanity. Well, there's a wonderful lesson there. And as far as more is in the book of Luke about Jesus praying than the other Gospels, you say, why? Because Jesus, the God-man, needed God while He was here on this earth. And guess what? If He was God in human form and He needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? So Luke chapter 11 is going to teach you about midnight praying and what is midnight praying for. And we learned that to get up at midnight or to meet the needs of others is what we pray for. I have a friend and I don't have anything to give them, and hospitality is important. And so in the middle of the night, you may find that God wakes you up at 1 or 2 in the morning. And you're thinking of somebody. And how many times have you tried to go back to sleep? And you laid with Elliot there for 45 minutes, and really you would have done just a lot better if you would have gotten up and prayed for who the Lord was doing what? Trying to get you to pray for. Midnight praying is for others. Midnight praying is for others. Now we come to the other prayer chapter in the book of Luke, and that's going to be chapter 18. And watch this. Look at verse number 1. "And He," our Savior, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint." So the next two parables that he's getting ready to teach is going to show you this main truth. Men, you and me, should always pray and never quit. So to illustrate that, he's going to, first of all, give the first parable. Let's look at it. Ready? Here we go. Verse number 2. "Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man." I think we can start out, first of all, who is this judge? This is a wicked person. This is a wicked individual. He does not fear God, and he does not fear man. That means he has a job as judge. He's in it only for the money. He doesn't care about justice. He doesn't care who hurts. He doesn't care about the law of God. All he wants. He's a very selfish individual, and he's a very wicked man. All right, this judge, that's verse 2. Look at verse 3 now. "And there was a widow." Stop. A widow back then had no insurance. Do you understand? If this is a widow, which it is, that means she has no provider. So here is a very poor lady. She has no resources. And she comes to Jesus. There was a widow in that city. And she came unto Him, the unjust, wicked judge, saying, here's the prayer, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Jesus is saying she came. If you look up the word avenge, it's a neat word. It means to inflict punishment on behalf of someone else and what happened to them, to avenge. So she's saying, I had somebody mistreat me. It does not say what it was. It doesn't say if it was involving her health or her money or her... doesn't say. It just says, "Avenge me of mine adversary," is the prayer. This is during the day. Look at verse number 4. "And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her," and this ought to be underlined, "lest by her continual coming she weary me." Remember the last, Luke chapter 11 said, it's very important, midnight praying is due to importunity, or where you don't stop asking. Daytime praying has the same ingredient, continual coming. And our main problem in prayer is that we, remember last week's illustration? We do the naughty boy knock and run. Ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find. And that word knock means knock and knock and knock. The problem in everybody's prayer life is that we don't pray enough. Well, I asked. God didn't answer it. Well, maybe God wanted you to ask again. I'd like to hear you say that. What do you want? How bad do you want it? I'd like to spend time with you. You never ask me for anything unless you really need it. So, say it again. Well, I asked God once, and He didn't give it to me. Here's the same lesson in daytime praying, lest by her continual coming. That tells me this. I'll give you a few things here on this. I need to continually ask God. Daytime praying is for your needs. Your needs, what you're going through in your life. Midnight praying is for others. Lord, they need this. Midnight prayer would be for an Emmett. Midnight praying would be for the family. That's others. That's not my need. That is their need. Do you understand? That's midnight praying. Daytime praying here during the day is where I pray, Lord, this is messed up, and Lord, I can't fix this, and Lord, I'm as helpless as this widow in the story, and Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help with this in my life, my job, my family, my Lord, I need You for needs I have. And here, He says, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I think verse number 6, watch this. And the Lord said, our Savior now said, He's done with a parable, hear what the unjust judge saith. Focus real good on verse number 5. And shall not, because now He's going to apply it, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them. Which cry day and night. The righteous cry, and the Lord delivereth him out of his troubles. How much do the righteous, the saved, cry in the Bible? A lot. And I dare say if you've, you know, they told me when I got saved. When you got saved, you're going to laugh like you've never laughed before. And you're going to weep like you've never wept before also. When? In prayer. Watch this. Verse number 8. Our Savior then tells us, I tell you that He, God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Our Savior tells us, if you will just ask and take your own needs. I remember when my dad went to the store one time and a man called him a liar. My dad, he just doesn't do that. And my dad, he was getting some auto parts, and the guy said, no, you didn't do that. My dad said, so I'm a liar? Well, I'm just telling you didn't do that. I remember my dad put the parts on the counter and said, thank you very much, and walked out to the car and said, we're not doing business there again. And you say, what is that? To him, that was an injustice. He didn't lie. The man was just having a bad day, and I understand that. But he said, that is something, he said, that should be settled. He said, as far as that's an injustice that he had here, this widow is praying, avenge me of my adversary. Now, before we get into the next parable, there's two parables here that Jesus uses to show that we ought to always pray. The first one is the widow who prays, avenge me of my adversary. I don't hear people pray that a lot. We live in a day of be positive, don't be negative, and yet I hear people talk about spiritual warfare, and I'm really wondering, I don't think many people know. Spiritual warfare is not just praying. It's fighting while you're praying. It's fighting. Did you know witch covens fast and pray against pastors? You know what a witch coven is, right? Wicca, all that garbage, worship of Satan, all that stuff, witchcraft. They have fasting lists. You say, well, God doesn't hear their prayers. The demons do. And then they go without food. They pray for the destruction of churches. You understand that, right? You say, well, God doesn't... They're not praying to God. They're praying to Satan. There is a spirit world. They're fighting righteousness. Now, you say, why would you tell us that? Here, avenge me of my adversary. God will avenge if we continually come. And I just wanted to... First of all, if you take that prayer that our Savior taught us, avenge me of my adversaries. First of all, your true enemies are those who keep you from serving the Lord. It's not just somebody that mistreats you. Remember, a true friend will always say, I want you to do what God wants you to do. That's what a true friend will say. An enemy is someone who will, I'm going soul winning tonight. Oh, you don't have to do that. Why don't you stay and do whatever? A true friend will always encourage you to do what God wants you to do. And an enemy, a true enemy, you say, I got to identify my... Everybody's not your enemy. But the devil will use people to stop you from serving the Lord. Those are your enemies. Those are true enemies. It would help if we would evaluate things according to, first of all, ask, what is biblically correct? Second of all, ask, what is best for the cause of Christ? What is best for the cause of Christ? Can you just keep your finger here and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick? Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Alexander the coppersmith, I'm at 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Watch this. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, watch this. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You say, why would you show us that passage? First of all, people say, well, you're not supposed to label false teachers nowadays. You know, you're supposed to talk nice of everything in Christendom. God didn't do that in the Bible. The Apostle Paul always pointed out false teachers. Here, Alexander the coppersmith, go back to Acts 19 later, okay, that's where the story is. Here, Alexander the coppersmith, he prays as a preacher. He says, this person has withstood me, and then watch this, the Lord reward him according to his works. That sounds a lot like what? Avenge me of my adversary. I have been wronged. Lord, you punish because of the wrong done, right? Now you say, I really am going somewhere with this tonight, so hang on. Ready? Go back to Luke chapter 18. When was the last time you prayed against sin? Most people were doing really good normally if we get through the prayer list. And we get through, you go through thankfulness and worship and then confession and then actually getting to praying and asking God for something. Most are doing real good just to do the four parts of talking with the Lord. But this, I call this, I've never heard anybody teach this, and I'm not teaching you anything new tonight. I think you'll be able to see it. It's pretty plain. But when was the last time, just like a witch, prays against a church, Lord, destroy that pastor, Lord. However they view in the twistedness and the demonic, but as they push against righteousness, have you ever pushed back? Have you ever pushed back? Let me give you an example. Have you ever stopped in front of a bar and said, "Dear God, please destroy this place, Lord, the homes it wrecks and the families, and Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would, Lord, just confuse the owner. I pray, Lord," have you ever, in other words, that is pushing against evil. Do you understand? But you don't hear people do that. Well, be positive, don't be negative, you know, be, everything isn't nice and fluffy. You understand? And you don't find Christians talking this way. Take your Bible. Okay, we're gonna come back to Luke chapter 18. Can I show you 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, you can take anything you want as far as you say, whether it's the dork over there in Korea that's got the hydrogen bomb now and all that stupid stuff. You can pray against that. You can take things like, I remember when Steve Jobs died and whoever the dork head that's over Apple now, he stood up in front of the whole convention and said, I thank the Lord that he made me a homosexual. That was blasphemy. I prayed against that. I said, Lord, that's not right. I pray, Lord, that's not right. Cast it. What do we do? Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Verse 5, we're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I said, Lord, that's not right. So you pray against it. You pray against it. It's not, oh, I think that's horrible. Well, a Christian says, I'm not going to shoot anybody. I'm not going after anybody. I fight on my knees. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd cast that down. That's not right. Can we go, now that you're at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let me just show you this. We don't fight physically. We fight spiritually. Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to go there. I want you to go to, and I'm watching the clock. Would you go to verses like Psalm 5? We're just going to stay in Psalms for about the next five verses. But watch this. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 9. Psalm 5 and verse number 9. God says this, Psalm 5, 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher or a grave. They flatter with their tongue. Look at this prayer. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Do you see the prayer? When was the last time you heard a Christian pray against sin? That's fighting. We're not supposed to, okay, we're not, you say, somebody says, I mean, what I'm getting ready to say here, it's not hate speech. It's not my job to go out and execute a homosexual. That's wrong. That's murder. But I can pray against what they're doing. When they said, well, take your children, the Rainbow Coalition. They can't reproduce. They got to recruit, right? They got to find kids that are straight and twist them and do that demonic stuff. So when they said that with the coalition, you pray what? Dear God, destroy them. Lord, confound their works. That's a biblical prayer. You say, well, you're not very nice. Wait a second. That's Psalm 5. Watch this. Look at another prayer. Look at Psalm 35. Go to Psalm chapter 35. We'll look at verse number 4 and 26. Psalm 35. Watch this. Look at verse number 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Now look at verse number 26. It says here, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. You say, why are you showing this tonight? The prayer that Jesus told us during the daytime, we pray, Lord, avenge me. Punish those in my stead because of what's happened. Then when you go to the Bible, somebody said, well, everything's supposed to be love. Love, love, love. Love, love. Honey dripping from your mouth. Don't ever say, wait a second. When you read the Psalms, the word confound, confound them, O Lord. That means destroy them. Destroy the works of iniquity. Destroy the work of the sin. And that's not supposed, watch this. It doesn't do any good for me to talk to you about it. I'm talking to you. What do you do when you enter your prayer closet? And you take the works of sin, and just like a witch prays against the church, you're a Christian, a child of God, on your knees, pushing against sin. That's fighting. That's fighting. Watch this. Look at Psalm 109. This is the last chapter we'll look at here. Psalm 109. Look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109 and verse number 10. We'll look at Psalm 109 and look at verse number 10. Watch this. Look at this prayer. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. To me, that's an amazing prayer. He's praying against their family. Lord, that's a wicked person. They don't love you. Lord, I'm going to get strong here. Lord, destroy their home. That's a vile place. I'm talking about you could take as far as the incest and stuff that happens in a Mormon's home any number. But here he's praying against the kids. This is spiritual warfare. I don't know what you do when you read your Bible and you come across verses like this. Oh, that's just for Israel. I don't think so. This is a spiritual battle. Look at verse number 20. 29 is the last one there in Psalm 109. Look at verse 29. Watch this. Let my adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. There it is again. Lord, confuse them. Lord, destroy them. And on your knees, when nobody sees you, you're pushing, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversaries. And it's a spiritual fight. If I put prayer into this category, I dare say that very few people have taken it to this level. Very few people. And I've heard Christians talk about Christian warfare and all that, and I'm for that. We fight on our knees. We fight on our knees. Watch this here. Let me take you here. Let me just show you one last section here. Psalm 139, verse 21. Psalm 139. Just go over another couple of chapters here. Psalm 139. I was talking to one preacher that teaches on prayer, and he said, I love memorizing Scripture and reminding. Listen to this. He said, when you talk to the Lord, it's always good to remind the Lord what He said. Isn't that good? And he was talking about, he said, I memorize Scripture, and he said, and then I remind, Lord, You said this, and You said this, and You said this. And that's on praying ground. Watch this. Psalm 139, and look at verse number 21. Ready? Here it says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? When was the last time you saw that embroidered on somebody's pillow? That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay. Do not I hate them that hate Thee, O Lord. Then look at verse number 22. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Careful how you count your enemies. An enemy, I'll say it again, an enemy, if a friend is someone who always wants you to do what God wants you to do, then an enemy is someone who opposes you doing, serving God. So be careful who you call an enemy, but I hate them with perfect hatred. If I just stopped here, I will go just a little bit further, but what is your hate life? Christians aren't supposed to hate. They're supposed to love, 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 blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. You're supposed to have a hate life. There's supposed to be some things you hate. And then that anger. Remember how it said Paul saw the idolatry and his spirit was stirred in him? And the Holy Spirit came upon him and then he preached? No, there's supposed to be some things you get upset about that stirs you. There's things I hate. Careful, you ought to make a list of the things that you hate, and it really ought to be in line of the things that God hates. Right? It shouldn't just be, well, I hate the color purple. And I hate bad breath. And I hate, okay, all right. We're not talking about personal preferences. We're talking about what you allow yourself to hate should fall pretty close in line with the things God... Look up the word abomination. The word abomination means shaking frenzy. And say, do I hate what God hates? I hate them with perfect hatred because of what they do to you. I hate them. That's strong praying. You don't find people doing that a whole lot. In other words, I taught this one other time, and someone said, I see the scripture behind it. I've just never heard anything like that. I'm not trying to teach you weird stuff. But when you're in a spiritual battle, you take the sin and you pray against it. You push. We have about 5 minutes. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18, shall we? Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. So we looked at one parable. Jesus is going to give us two parables here about how men ought always to pray and not to faint. The next parable here is, it's beautiful. I'll just touch on it and let you think about it here just for a second. Look at verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You say, why would he do that? I'm in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Because you only pray as much as you know you need God. And the only reason you don't pray is because you don't need God. Right? If you're trusting in yourself and you got it all together and everything's just fine, then what do I need God for? He teaches this next parable, not a paragraph marking there, but he teaches this next parable to those that trust in themselves and then that they were righteous and despised others. Look at verse 2. Here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, and I have these words underlined in my Bible, and prayed thus with himself. Now wait a second. Isn't prayer you talking with God? This is a prayer God did not hear. He prayed with himself. In other words, he's one of those that just loved to hear himself pray. And God didn't hear it. He prayed with himself. He didn't pray to God. I get concerned. I don't think we're supposed to memorize prayers. Here, in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Would you notice his prayer? God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I think there's two things. Number one, he never prayed one. What does prayer? Asking. He never asked one thing. It was a display. That's one reason God didn't hear him. Number two, I can't help but think there's no humility in his position. He stood and prayed. You want to look up something neat in your Bible? Look up the word kneeling. There's just something about it. Now, I'm not talking about if your health won't allow you. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about there's just something about this. I'm kneeling before my King. And I'm bowing. I bow my head. Sometimes I pray and I walk, but if you can kneel and your health will allow you to, there is something about it. Look at the next person. Jesus is giving the illustration here. We learned why, that this man is praying with himself instead of to God. Look at verse, let's finish his display here. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And look at verse 13. Look at the prayer Jesus heard. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here, you have one person scared to death that somebody's going to find out what they really are. Right? So they're always, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, including this. And here's one that doesn't care. God, be merciful to be a sinner. One was real, one wasn't. Can I ask you a question? I want you to think about this. I thought as I studied this, I've just tried to think, what was the Lord trying to show us? I think, number one, be careful you don't pray with yourself when you pray. Watch your position. Number two, how can you hide something? How can you spend time with somebody that knows exactly what you thought and exactly where you've been and exactly what you're doing and exactly what your motives are and not be real? How can you hide anything from God? That's how come some Christians don't pray. Amen. That's how come during prayer time, they do this. Now let's pray.
Amen.
Do you know why they don't shut their eyes? They're scared to death to be with the one, alone with the one that knows them like no other. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The confession, Lord, you know what I am. Lord, I have nothing to hide. I'm a dirt ball. I don't deserve to be in your presence. Look at the difference between the two prayers. We got just a couple minutes left. Did you know before revival, there is always conviction? Then there is confession. Then there is confession. And when you read Nehemiah 9 and Daniel 9, the confession chapters in the Bible, and I know there's Psalm 51 and things like that, but when you read those, as God used those men as models of confession, you first find them praying this way, "We have not loved you." When they pray, "We have joked and mocked about sin. We have called evil good and good evil. We've not loved righteousness. We've sinned. We've lied. We've been proud about our wrong. We've wanted the world and its evil instead of you." And then you start watching them as they confess. I'm talking about Nehemiah 9 and Daniel 9. Just read it sometime. And watch how Daniel confesses. He goes from "we" to "I." "I have not loved you. I have not given you the attention and glory you deserve. I have called evil good and good evil. I've not loved righteousness. I've sinned. I've lied. I've been proud about my wrong. I wanted the world and its evil. I've been selfish. I've not loved righteousness. I've not stood for right." Confession here. Well, you're in Luke 18. I haven't had you turn anyplace else. Let's look at the end of the parable. Watch this. Verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." That word justified, it means saved. This man, God heard his prayer rather than the other. "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The Savior's two parables, daytime praying, "Avenge me of my adversaries," pushing against sin. That's something not very many Christians do. "Dear God, that's wrong. Destroy it, please." It's nothing that, I mean, you're not, social media, none of that. It's all done on your knees. "Dear God," and they're pushing. Tonight, just wanted to drive home the parables that illustrate men ought always to pray and not to faint. How did he do it? I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Please teach us and help us, Lord, as we labor for you, as we see what you hate, help us to hate it also. Please. Help us, Lord. I know you're looking. You see, you said you